so. Amen. But in 1 Samuel chapter number 1, we're beginning at verse number 11. And the Bible says, "And she vowed a vow and said, O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look on the affliction of thine handmaid, and remember me, and not forget thine handmaid, but will give unto thine handmaid a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Amen. Just for the short little bit of time here tonight, I want to just talk to y'all about one word, and that's dedication. Dedication. Some of this, young people, kind of blends in with what we learned about last Friday night, but don't tune it out because there's more, and we all need this. We need dedication. Amen. Let's raise our hands and ask God to be with us here tonight. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Glory to God. God bless you tonight, and you may be seated. So there are a few ways that we can define the word dedication. One definition of dedication is the quality of being dedicated or committed to something. Another definition is a single-minded focus on something we decide on. And that's the main one I want us to think about tonight. That definition is a single-minded focus on something that we decide on. There are multiple ways you can tell if a person is dedicated. So some of those I copied and pasted a nice Control-C, Control-V onto my notes here. And one is they are passionate. Passionate. I did add on some things after that, but when you know somebody is dedicated, they are passionate about whatever that particular thing, activity, whatever it may be, there's passion behind it. Whatever you feel you are dedicated to, life throws a lot of curveballs at you. But it seems that nothing ever goes to plan in life. But if you're passionate about what you're dedicated about, you won't let the curveballs of life detract you from what you are passionate about, what you are trying to dedicate, whatever that particular thing might be. Another one, they are truly invested in achieving a specific goal. So there is a specific goal. One that I think of as a young guy is sports. If I have a specific goal, basketball, golf, whatever, I want to always be better at what it is. If I'm terrible at shooting, I want to practice shooting. That's a goal. Be a better shooter. Hit a better golf score. I'm terrible at golf. But there's a specific goal. A specific goal. Next, there is a dream in regards to whatever it might be. So you have a dream. They believe that whatever it might be that they dedicated their lives to, they can achieve it even if it's impossible. So even if it's impossible, that's what a dream is. It might not be possible, but you're still dreaming for it because you're dedicated to that particular area. One thing that I did underline and pull from, it says, a spark of a dream can light a fire of dedication that burns brightly for years for a dedicated individual. I thought that was really good. Just one little taste, one little spark of the dream that you've had can ignite your dedication for years, for years. Another point, they take action about whatever it might be. When someone is dedicated, they realize that it is more than emotional, or it is more than emotion, or more than being in your mind, more than mental. It is physical. When you're dedicated, if you're dedicated in studies, there's another one. That if you're dedicated to a college course, you're going to put in time, you're going to put in effort, and I know you're going to be tired. You're going to be exhausted. You're going to be writing papers at the very last minute. It's exhausting. There's a lot of time, but you know that you're going to be exhausted. But when you're dedicated, you push all of that aside. It doesn't matter about the physical aspect of it as well. There's another part. They don't shy away from responsibility. So if you're dedicated to a certain thing and you're given a responsibility in regards to that, you take it with not as it's something that's bad or that it's a weight for you, but you take it with joy. You're like, oh, yes, I've worked up for this. This is something I'm dedicated for. I've really strived for this, and now I'm responsible for something in regards to whatever you might be dedicated for. And then and the last one that I have here is they don't make excuses. If you are truly dedicated to something, then an individual understands just how detrimental time can be. There's doesn't matter what kind of excuse you can come up with to not be there, to whatever it might be. You know, hey, if you're trying to lose weight, I'll start tomorrow. That's an excuse. That's an excuse. You know you need to start now. And if you push it off tomorrow, you're going to keep pushing off tomorrow. So a dedicated individual understands, hey, there are no excuses. I have no excuses. I'm dedicated. My mind's made up. That's what I'm going for. That's what I'm going for. So I put a small example in here. And there is a famous basketball player who has put $1.5 million a year. This was back in 2018. I don't know what it is today. But in 2018, he put $1.5 million into just his body. So that's not training for his basketball skills. That's not anything. That's just training and help for his body. Some of that includes a personal gym in his home, personal trainers. He has all-time personal chefs. He has all of this just for his body. And his teammates think it's so funny that how he dedicates so much money into just his body. That's where he's dedicating every year. He doesn't shy. It's $1.5 million every year. And they laugh at him for it. But at the same time, most people know about LeBron James today that he is still going, and he is still a very good basketball player, even in his 40s. But it's because of the dedication he's put in to his body that nobody else is willing to put in. As the saints of God, we need to make sure that we have dedicated ourselves to God. And we also need to make sure that we have dedicated ourselves to the things of God. It's one thing being dedicated to the things of God and not being dedicated to God. You can give yourself and not be a prayer warrior. You can not have been renewed in the Holy Ghost at all. And if that's the case, are you really dedicated to God? We need to be fully dedicated to the things of God, or else we risk our souls being at risk. And there's no, when it comes to the things of God, there's no happy medium. There's no in between. There's no, yeah, I'm kind of dedicated to God, but yes, I'm over here dedicated, you know, to all of these other things. It's either you're dedicated or you're not. There's no in between. The Bible says in Matthew chapter number 6, and in verse 24, it says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. So like I said, it's one or it's the other. There's not God and mammon. The Bible said it's God or mammon. You cannot serve both. It is impossible to serve two masters. In Romans chapter number 12, in verse number 1, it says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that ye may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says to be transformed by the renewing of your mind, by the renewing of your mind. It says not to be conformed to this world. So by no means do we need to give place to anything that the world finds pleasure in. We cannot serve God. We cannot serve mammon at the same time. In Colossians chapter number 3 and verse number 2, the Bible says, set your affection on things above and not things on earth. This is where it comes to dedication. Either you are dedicated to personal gain or you're dedicated to God. There's a saying in here I have somewhere that I'll read it to you when I get to it, but that I told the young people. And I'll say it again because I'll go ahead and say it. But it says, I said, would you rather live a very pleasurable life on earth and burn in hell for eternity? Or would you rather sacrifice just a little bit on earth and not have exactly what you want, but yet you get to reside in hell or in heaven for eternity? You don't go to hell for sacrificing, but you get to be in heaven for eternity. So just a little bit, you're not living the best life on earth. But the Bible says there's walls of jasper, there's gates of pearl, there's streets of gold, and you get to worship by God the rest of eternity. But yet, what's the whole thing if you gain the whole world but lose your soul? There's no gain in that. In Matthew chapter number 25, I'm not going to read all of it. I'm kind of just going to tell the story. But we all know that there in Matthew 25, the Bible tells the story of five wise virgins and five foolish. And how they all came to see the bridegroom. They all came to experience this. But the Bible says, I think it's around verse 5, the Bible says how five wise brought their oil. The five wise brought oil. But then in the very next verse, it says how the five foolish brought no oil. They brought no oil to this occasion. So immediately when I take a step back and look at it, I see five came prepared and five others did not came prepared. Five others were serious enough about this occasion that they were dedicated to bring what they need, and the other five were not. They all slumbered and slept because the Bible says, I think it's around verse 7, where the bridegroom tarried, and they all slumbered and slept. But at midnight, there was a cry saying, behold, the bridegroom cometh, and the foolish were asking the wise, please, 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 hey, we have no oil. We were not prepared. We did not think to get any oil. You brought oil. And the five wise looked and like, no, we can't share unless we don't have enough. We won't even have enough if I help you. How about you go down to the corner store, pick up some oil, come back, and then you can get in too. You'll have your oil. But while the foolish were out and away, and this is where I'm going to pick up in Matthew 25 and 10. And it says, and while they went to buy, the bridegroom came. And they that were ready and went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. Afterward came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for ye know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. I told that story to say this. You're either, like we talked about earlier, you're dedicated to one or the other. And if you think you can slip by with just enough time and be like, no, I want just a little taste, you might just miss out. You might miss out. We need to make sure that we are dedicated to the things of God. While there were five who were dedicated to the cause, the other five slumbered and put their priorities somewhere else. Here's that little saying. I asked the young people this question on the last Friday night. Would you rather have everything you want here on earth and burn in hell for the rest of your life, or dedicate yourselves to God and sacrifice a little bit here on earth to live in heaven for the rest of your lives? We need to make sure that we are dedicating our lives to the right source, to the right things. If we are too much focused on the other, some examples I used in youth were, for me, everybody knows I enjoy a good game of golf, but if I were dedicated too much to it and I started leaving my spiritual life slacking, Was it really worth improving my score just to lose my soul? Or is it right if I dedicate myself to the things of God and to a prayer life than to proving my score? Or is it better to get better at certain video games? Or is it better to maybe just have a little taste of this music? Or is it better to improve your weight, whatever it might be? Is it improve what you fit the cause? You fit the cause. Is it more important for you to dedicate yourself to what's taking your time away from the things of God? I think that's important for us to think about. I don't have much longer. I told you it was going to be different. But we need to make sure we are dedicated to the right thing. If you will miss church or prayer because you have more important things, then in my and in pastor's opinion, you're dedicated to the wrong thing. If you can make up excuses on why you're not at church, that's not dedication. If you can make excuses of why you're not at prayer, that's not dedication. You're dedicated to the wrong thing. You're dedicated to the wrong thing. As we all stand here, I just have a little bit more. I kind of rewrote those points on dedication. But let's go back to our text. We all know the story of Hannah and Elkanah and how Hannah was barren. Hannah could have no children. It was impossible for her to have children. And we learned that how Hannah had people who was mocking her for not being able to have children. They were making fun of her. They were laughing at her. But Hannah had a different mentality than most people. Because if you look closely, the Bible says that for years she was mocked. For multiple years. But when I read this, I see Hannah consistently going back to the source. Consistently knowing, hey, if I dedicate myself, I know God can take care of the rest. I know if I have a need or if I have a problem, whatever it might be, I know if I make sure everything is right, my priorities are right, and I'm dedicated to the house of God, that I know everything else will take care of itself. And then in our verse, we see where Hannah is in the temple, and she's praying, and she's crying, and she's weeping, and she's weeping. And the Bible says in the very next verse that she got to the point where she could not even utter a word. And it said Eli was in the temple, and he heard, and he thought she was drunk, and he said, you need to lay off the alcohol. And Hannah was like, no, I'm not drunk. I'm just vexed. I'm sad. I hurt. I don't have any children. God has shut my womb up. I don't have any children. And Eli asked her a couple more questions, but he looked at Hannah and he said, because of how you're praying, because of your dedication in essence, God has granted you and he's going to give you a child. And we know that is how Samuel came about. But one interesting fact that I saw from this is that Samuel, we know, was a mighty man of God. So many things happened in Samuel's life. But there would be no Samuel if there was no dedicated Hannah. There would be no Samuel. And all in several places that I found, the name Samuel means heard of God. Heard of God. Because of one person who chose to dedicate her life and to put her priorities in the right spot, we got Samuel. And the children of Israel got Samuel. As we bow our head and close our eyes, I'm just going to tell you a couple things. We need to be passionate about the things of God. We need to have a spiritual dream, just like the other definitions for dedication. You need to take action for living for God. You don't need to just be at home. You don't need to miss service. You don't need to find excuses of why you want and need to miss church. But if you're truly dedicated, you will try your best for every time to make it to the house of God. No excuse will hold you back because you realize just how important the house of God is. We need to realize and truly be dedicated and not shy away from responsibility. It is our responsibility to have a prayer life. It's our responsibility to be here when the doors are open. It's our responsibility to make sure that we are dedicated to God and that we are not serving the world.